All right, brothers and sisters, let's get into chapter 5. As we open up the Bibles tonight and getting back into Romans, and I really am encouraged, and I do want to get a running start at this tonight. How's that? So, Lord willing, we'll go back to the fourth chapter, and we'll begin reading from the 21st verse. So again, Romans 4, verse 21. And Abraham, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, it's finished. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're going to stop there for a moment, and I'll tell you something here. What God promises, he always performs. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Come on now. What God promises, he always performs. It is impossible for God to lie. His promises are yea and amen. Isn't it awesome? Praise the Lord. God help our unbelief tonight. Amen. Now, we've just read righteousness imputed. I'm thankful by faith. That means righteousness reckoned, hallelujah, counted, and put into our account. How simply? By believing God, and believing God raised up Jesus Christ from the dead and was delivered for our offenses. Therefore, isn't that wonderful? Boy, when the Lord puts on a therefore, he's concluding it up. He's wrapping it up. It's finished up. Hallelujah. We are justified by faith. Justification, praise be to God, finished on the cross and accounted, imputed to us by believing. We are not being justified, brothers and sisters. We are justified by faith. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I'm so thankful to God. Oh, hallelujah, how thrilled I am that he is my Abba Father. And because we are justified, we have peace with God. How wonderful. We have peace with God. It's not a contingent thing. Praise the Lord. I might not be at peace with God with the way I'm acting. But praise the Lord, because of Christ Jesus and his life living in me, I am at peace with God. Come on now. Yes. Praise the Lord. How wonderful. And we have peace with God because Christ lives in us. Amen. We have peace with God because we are now the sons of God. Amen. Amen. We have peace with God because his seed remaineth. And we have peace with God, praise the Lord, because he cannot deny himself. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I thank the Lord for my eternal security. Now, I have some children of my own. Yes, I do. And you know what? I have two sons. And they are, and always will be, my sons. They're my sons. Hallelujah. Yet how sad. It's so amazing that there's many of God's precious people that are so mixed up, thinking that somehow as a child of God, my is some type of a contingent thing, something that could end. Isn't that amazing? When God even gives us in the natural, you know, when you're born of those parents, now they may not raise you, I understand that, and shame on them if they didn't. But I will tell you, they will always be your biological parents. You will always have that seed. You will always have that DNA. You cannot take it out. How much more so our Heavenly Father? How much more so the seed that remaineth? Why do you believe? Can you imagine? He says, I cannot deny myself. Because he lives in you. Isn't that wonderful?
Isn't that awesome? Doesn't that just thrill you that God sees you in the exact same way as he sees his son, because that's the life that lives in you? But I am so glad that I know I have peace with my Father. Said it a little bit earlier, Abba Father. And you get into that Abba, and we can go a lot of different ways. But I know one thing, and I appreciate, I call no man Father but my Heavenly Father. But I am so thankful to God, my sweet daddy. It was never Father, it was Dad. And I got a dad in my Heavenly Father. And I am so thankful to know that it's all because of the blood of Jesus. And praise be to God, that peace that is from and through and in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is our peace. See, I don't keep the peace. A lot of people say, oh, keep the peace. I don't make the peace. Do you know what? Jesus Christ is my peace. Let's go over here and let's read in Ephesians chapter 2. And this should thrill you right here. And I know this is something we've read probably many times, but my goodness, best time to read something is right now. Amen? Amen. So Ephesians 2 and verse 14, listen to this. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Isn't that wonderful? See, we go boldly right to the throne. There's but one mediator between God and man, that's the Lord Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And we go right there, having abolished in his flesh. See, he abolished it in his flesh. The enmity, even the law of commandments. My goodness, why don't people read the word of God? Contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Isn't that awesome? Praise his name. Go over to Colossians now. Let's read from chapter 1, verse 20. And that's Colossians chapter 1. We'll start reading verse 20. And having made peace, how? Through the blood of his cross. Not by me doing this and doing that and being good and giving that. And, oh, I have faith to move mountains, and I speak with the tongue of men and angels, and I've given all my money to the poor. No, we have peace, praise God, through one thing, and that's through the blood of the cross and his cross. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. See, praise God, there was a purpose in it. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, see, you, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Oh, tremendous what he has done and finished on that cross. Now, see, without fully knowing and believing that, brothers and sisters, you can't take advantage of all the things that are in verse 2. See, you might fully, well, I'll tell you what, you do fully have it. You may not live it, you may not know it, but any Christian and any child of God, praise his name, has verse, chapter 5, verse 1. Do you know that? Doesn't matter if they think that they could lose their salvation in one heartbeat. Every child of God, born the same way by the blood of Jesus. Every child of God, justified by faith. Every child of God has peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But without fully accepting and believing and resting in that, verse 2, you just don't go on to it. You don't. Now listen to verse 2. By whom? Also, we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now, this is something here, how God brings this out. See, if you think you could fall out of being a son, you live in fear. Just think in my own household with my own dad. Think about it, growing up. If I thought I crossed my dad some way and I lived in this fear, man, if I don't do this, if I don't, cut the lawn, take out the trash. Oh my goodness, I'm not going to be my son, my dad's son. You'd say, what a nut. But yet there's many a Christian that think if they do this or that or this. Now, I'm not saying it's any free-for-all. Don't get me wrong. But let me tell you something. The blood of Jesus is exactly what it is. It's the justifier. It justified you. He that is born of God doth not commit sin, neither can he sin. Now, that's the life that lives in you. It's contained in this flesh. And this flesh can believe lies. We're sheep, amen? But we sure can at times bark like a dog. But you'll never be anything but a precious lamb to him. Praise God. Oh, thank him for his faithfulness. Now, if somehow you're thinking that to be a son is something that you keep, you just missed the grace of God. You did. You missed it. You won't go on. See, without grace all the way. Think of the Word of God and how it says it so clearly. It's right on the front steps of that church. That precious verse in 2 Peter. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How much more clear can it be? You grow in grace. And then once you grow in grace, you'll grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who happens to be full of grace and truth. So you grow in grace and you'll grow into a double portion of grace. You'll learn, praise the Lord, the very love, intimacy of what he has for you in that great, great grace. So, without grace all the way along, the perfect, complete, full-grown growth that God has for each and every one of his precious people will be missed. Amen. I was thinking, Lord, help me not to be one of those that ran well. Help me not to be one of those that went along in grace and then somehow thought that this flesh could do anything. Lord, help me understand as you go in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know this flesh can't do anything but fail. And I need him moment by moment by moment. But by grace, brothers and sisters, you know what? We see justification. We live justification. And we believe it for what it is. Hallelujah. And we let the grace of God, hallelujah, take us from glory to glory. And oh, what an unfolding it is in our life. And what he's encouraging us here as he begins in chapter 5 is have faith in one thing, grace. Have faith in grace. Have faith in the love of God to you. The Word of God tells us faith worketh by love. Amen. And God help us to get the simplicity of that, even in our natural lives. People that truly have loved us and cared for us and truly took time that we knew that it was love. You know what? You believe in them. You believe that they're going to help you. They believe that they're going to be there for you. Now, that's just in the natural. How much more so our Heavenly Father? And he tells you, faith worketh by love. Yes. You want to believe God more, you need to understand and know more of his love. You want to be a more quickened believer, not slow to believe, but quick to believe. Amen. Know the love of Christ. That's what it is. Praise God, you get into there in Ephesians. That's to know that height and depth and length and breadth, to know the love of Christ. Amen. Didn't mean to memorize all of these different things, or to live by the Ten Commandments, or to do these things. My goodness, he causes me to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's fulfilled all that. And praise the Lord, he's bringing forth grace and glory in us. Now, that's how all the promises are performed, is grace and faith in grace. In your life, just like Abraham. And just like Abraham, he believed God, didn't he? And that was imputed for him, counted for him, reckoned for him for righteousness. And that's what grace is, brothers and sisters. We have to understand this. It's unmerited love and favor. It is. But it's so much more. It goes on. Grace goes on. And grace is beyond. And then grace, great grace, divine grace makes the love of God alive and fervent in your life. Amen, it does. You become transformed because of the grace of God. You stand back and you watch, amen, the new man in your life. And you do become not in awe, it's not of yourself, it's of Christ in you. You're thankful for Christ in you. You know that it's Christ in you doing that. If I am so grateful to God, I understand how wicked I am, but for the grace of God. And you grow more in that knowledge of it and thankfulness and gratitude as you grow in grace. You start growing thankful for who you are, you're missing grace. Grace is thankful for who he is. And more and more and more. I believe there's a sweet verse that says, he must increase and I must decrease. And that's not a one-time thing. Amen. Going on moment by moment by moment. Praise his name. But see, when this grace becomes alive and fervent in our life, and that love of God is ignited in our life, see, we begin, remember, faith worketh by love? That's when the most holy faith is ignited in our life. See, that's when you start learning of the love of God. And then you start really believing the word of God. And then there's more love he puts into you. And then there's more believing the word of God. And then there's more love and more believing, you see. And then what happens is you become delirious for the Lord. Just like David. His heart panted after him. That's why that precious brother, he was out beyond pretty much everybody at that time. I mean, this was the king. He had everything. They sung his songs. You know, Saul killed his thousands. David killed his 10,000. They loved him. But yet he loved the Lord. And he didn't care what they thought. And when the Lord came upon him, man, he was dancing there in his skivvies. And he was thanking God for just the joy that was in him. It didn't matter. His wife, whom he did love, said, oh, you're a fool and all of those things. He didn't care. God cared, though. Because God is a jealous God. And yes, he is. And he shut up her womb. See, when you're not, when you're not inhibited, when it's unabandoned, you know what I'm saying? And it's just pouring forth, praise the Lord, there's fruit and great fruit. But when you withdraw because of whatever you think, it's going to wither. And it is. And, you know, the Lord help us pray for one another in this. That, again, this igniting just grows more fervent all the time. But see, as this most holy faith continues to grow in your life because of the love of God, because of the grace of God, then you stand, withstand, and having done all to stand. And what are you standing in all the time? Grace. Hallelujah. And you just realize how enormous the grace room is. It's all sufficiency in all things, always to superabound every good work. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? But then, here's what grace does as well. It rejoices. Isn't that wonderful? Grace is the only thing that can rejoice, isn't it true? You know what? Oh, you can try to flatter yourself, but that's going to end soon anyways. We see it time and time again with man. No, pump them up. Oh, tear them down. But grace rejoices. Rejoice! And where's grace? It's in the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So if you're rejoicing in the Lord, you're rejoicing in grace. Because that's why you rejoice. It's because he is full of grace and truth. So we understand there's no rejoicing in works. There's no rejoicing in flesh. That is a total dead end. It is truly only grace that rejoices. And grace rejoices in hope. Isn't that wonderful? It's not in the hope. It's hope. And there's a big difference there, and I thank God. But it's the hope of what? It's the hope of glory. And that's why the Word of God calls it grace and glory. Grace and glory. See, you'll never get to glory without grace. Can't happen. Grace always got to come first. Just like when they say, grace and peace be with you, as Paul always saluted them. You'll never have peace. You'll never have peace without grace. Amen. See, now we are so thankful that the Lord, and it is the Lord by His Spirit, we preach and rejoice in the liberty that is in Christ. That whom He has made free is free indeed. That we can never be separated from the love of God. And we stand by His grace that we do have peace with God. But now the fight is on for the peace of God. That's it, see. That's the difference. To have the peace of God reigning in our lives, flowing and growing in our lives. And this is what this rejoicing is. This is when the peace of God reigns. This is when the rest reigns. This is when, praise the Lord, I really realize that I am my beloved's and His desire is toward me. I mean, my Lord really loves me. Not like He had to, because God said, well, you just get down there and love Him. No, He loves me. And matter of fact, He's ravished. And He becomes more ravished as the more grace I take to understand how ravishing I am to Him because of the grace of God that is growing the life of Jesus Christ up in me. That's incredible stuff. I'm surprised we're sitting still. But that's okay. I know it's Wednesday night. We're a little numb. But God does these things, see, and it's wonderful. See, again, grace rejoices in hope. I just love it. See, grace rejoices in hope. Grace don't live by sight. Grace lives by faith. Amen? Grace lives by faith. Grace lives by, well, my father said that, that's so. I count those things which be not as though they were. Amen. Oh, I thank God. I heard a man here recently say about their loved one passing. Well, we all got to die. Well, I'll tell you what, I understand it's appointed unto men once to die, but you know what? I got a better thing. I live in a time of exceeding great and better promises. I got an offering in the way. I'll tell you what, I'm looking for Him to take me home without dying. That's right. And I'm so sad. I'm so sad that people ain't living that way. I'm not living to die and get into heaven. I told you that many times about Brother Hill last time I saw him. Well, second to last time I saw him. He's in that hallway, just all ravaged with cancer. That strong, vibrant vessel laying in that hallway just looked as puny and weak and defeated as possible. And walking up to, I walked around that hallway thinking he was in his bed and he was trying to come to the kitchen and fell down in there. And I just said, Papa, what you doing down there? He looked at me. Oh, son, do you think he could come today? I got it. The light came on. Hallelujah. It didn't matter what was going on out here. Didn't even matter what was going on in the flesh here. Jesus is coming. We don't have time to waste. Oh, I don't have time to get distracted. I understand there's lots of doors and different things that He opens in our life, and we just walk through them by faith. But don't you be expecting anything in there except Him. Amen. It's all right. You go on. God gives you a thought, a vision. I'm talking about goals in your life and things like that. He opens the door for them, go walk through. But don't let that become your affection. Don't set your affection on that thing. Set them on the things above. The after effects of the glory of setting our affections on the things of God are incredible. It's awesome what the Lord will do in our lives. And I thank the Lord for that. Now, it might be I'm digging a ditch. It might be I'm out of work. Oh, wait, how could you say that? Let me tell you something. Read the Word of God. And I'll tell you, the wealthiest of the wealthy were just like Paul. He lost basically everything, but it was his great gain. And he counted all of that but dung, except for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. How wonderful to know these things and to have them being lived again by Christ in me in our lives. Now, grace rejoices in hope. And I want you to always understand this. Hope with God is not an if.
hope with God is when. It's just when. When his glory shall be revealed in us. Amen? In due time. Amen. So I thank God for these things. Grace causes us to believe in more grace and glory, that we will be seated in the midst of the glory throne with him, that we will, by God's grace, be descending, having the glory of God. Now, I don't count that as I've apprehended, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm counting him faithful that he will perform the good work which he's begun. Oh, yes. I'm counting completely on grace that I will not be one of those that ran well. No, I finished and won. Praise the Lord. I'm not bold in myself. I understand that. I take this on myself. I'm done just like that. But I count him faithful and praise God. It's glory all the way. And it is. We need to be bold in him. Bold again in his love to us, brothers and sisters. That's what's so wonderful. See, I know winning Christ and being seated in the midst of the throne with him, it is so far beyond me. But that's just why Christ came to live in me. Amen? By grace, through grace, all things are not just possible. By the grace of God, all things are performed. Amen? Amen, they are. I thought I'd get a hallelujah, but that's all right. But then, let's go to verses 3 through 5 in chapter 5 of Romans here. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Isn't it amazing what love can do? Love can let you and be called a fool and ridiculed, and love can, praise the Lord, allow the Son of God and cause him to come to earth as man. And be ridiculed and beaten. And his visage marred more than any man's. This is what love can do. And hold and make consist all that wood and those spikes in his hands and in his feet. Understand that all of those were going to bark those horrific things, kill him, all of those things. God encouraging his heart because of love. Oh, Father, forgive him what they do. And become sin for us. Oh, what love can do. Oh, that, and brothers and sisters, that is the love we have. Do you know that? That's love. That's the only love there is the love of Christ. Praise God. And it's a perfect love, isn't it? So we know when our love, and that's exactly what it is, starts wearing out, when our love doesn't love through something, that's not his love. You're awful quiet. But it's the truth. Amen, it is. So we're thankful again for that encouragement of the love of God. But see, when you stand in this precious truth, this fruit comes forth, brothers and sisters. And this fruit is 3 through 5. It's the tribulation and the patience and the experience that brings forth the hope. And when you stand, you grow in grace and you grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in that knowledge, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this. It's intimate knowledge of the way of the bridegroom. And I'm going to say the ways of the bridegroom here. See, the intimate fellowship with the Holy Ghost as he takes the things of Christ and he shows them unto us. He enlightens the eyes of our understanding of who we are in Christ and what grace will enable you to grow up to and be in Christ. Amen. And this is what this does. This is when you stand in grace. Grace begats more grace. Amen. We understand that flesh will get more flesh. Sin begats sin, but grace begats grace. And as that grace continues to roll and that grace continues to come forth, brothers and sisters, it is awesome. Because what simply happens is love knowledge. That's what grace wants you to be in Christ. You get love knowledge, you get love wisdom, you get love understanding. Growing in grace knowledge glories in infirmities. That's what this is saying here. You glory in tribulation. Growing in that grace, that wisdom of his love, we understand that there's no way to take that greatest part with him, that love story in its heights, without jointly suffering together with Jesus Christ. He wants a wife. He wants her. He wants her so much. And he wants her in that precious way of what God's will is going to be, to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Amen. You think about, even again, we go to the natural. See, God reveals himself in nature. You think about wonderful couples that are married. They suffer together, don't they? And a lot of times I go out to a lot of people that are sick and different things going on. Often, I won't even say often, couples that really love one another, the one that actually is touched with the infirmity isn't suffering near as much as the one that's healthy with them sitting there trying to care for them. You know what I'm saying. They would take that upon themselves in a moment and say, Lord, let my spouse be healed. Give it to me. Yeah. How much more so again in this joint sufferings together with Jesus Christ? See, it's the only way into jointly ruling and reigning with him. He said, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 4:17. Let's just be encouraged in many of the things we're going through. Yes, because there's going to be many sufferings here, and we're going to be tested on every front here. But in 2 Corinthians 4:17, it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. We could go into that verse in the ages to come and never exhaust that one, but that's what the exceeding riches of his grace is for. But I thank God for that. Then turn over to Romans 8:18. It's hard not to get into Romans 8 anytime you're in Romans. But this is why we're going to go there just for a moment. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, listen to that, Romans 8:18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Yes, amen. God help us to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And then let's read about this encouragement in Brother Paul in action. Actually, I shouldn't say Brother Paul, but in the brothers in action there when the apostles are beaten here. But if you go over to Acts chapter 5, it says there verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Oh, thanks be to God. See, this is how we really get valuable to God. You think about the mercy seat, huh? And what come out of the mercy seat? The cherubim, right? Praise God. There's the mercy seat. There's the cherubim. What was that all out of? One piece of beaten gold. Okay? You got the mercy seat. The cherubim represent, again, those four living ones, the bridal company. They're one. They're inside the Holy of Holies. Praise be to God. Gold through and through. Royalty. Kings. But beaten. Amen. It's going to be that way. And we thank the Lord. So we glory in tribulations. We glory in that, for when I'm weak, praise God, he is strong, he is magnified, he increases and I decrease. And what does it say here as we go back to Romans? It says more tribulations. What do they bring? More patience. Amen, amen. Let's not be fearful for that. Patience has to have her perfect work. See, if you think you're perfectly patient or you think you're going to get to this perfectly patient thing, it's a different meaning in that, brothers and sisters. And I want you to understand this patience brings in a steadfastness in our lives. It brings an enduring to our lives. It brings that perseverance in our lives. We become like that one, as Brother Paul says in Philippians 3, I press toward the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, that's what he is doing is in performing these tribulations in us. He is proving his faithfulness in us. Isn't that wonderful? See, it is. I thank God. And I've had him encourage my heart in this as we're going through some things. I said, oh, Lord, this hurts. He said, don't worry, I'm just showing myself off in you, son. And it's the truth. He's showing himself off. He's not showing me off. He's showing himself off. Praise God. He's showing me how faithful he is. Praise be to God. He's intent about me winning him. And as I yield to him, he will cause this life to will and to do of his good pleasure. I will walk in those before ordained good works that I should walk therein. Amen. I can't walk that path. There's no way, and you can't either. But Christ in you sure can. And he'll fulfill it. He'll perform it. He laid it out in ages past. And praise the Lord, he wants you to walk through it. Now, these are things we can rest in and glory in. This is how, praise God, he does it. But more tribulation brings more of that precious patience. And I thank God that truly this is that quest into the heights of the first love, the riches of the tribulation, that working of patience far outweighs any hurt. And then from this patience, brothers and sisters, we get this experience. And I thank God for this experience. The experience is more of the proving. It shows forth the good soldier that endures hardness. Amen. We become true vessels to the praise of the glory of his grace. I think about how we've been reading about Abraham. Why do you think he started us out with Abraham? Why did he use him? Because Abraham's promise, praise God, of that son Isaac wasn't really brought forth. It was already done. We already know it was done. It was finished. God said it. It's so. But he had Abraham wait all of those years. And not just waiting, not just like Moses waiting. That's why he used Abraham. He's dead. Your wife's womb is dead. Everything is dead. You're completely weak. You cannot do this. This is how beautiful this was to God. This is the heights of what Christ is wanting us to believe him for in grace for that transforming power. And we fight this good fight of faith to win him. See, again, flesh tells us, oh, my life, there's just no way I can do this. I can't win him. I'm so wicked. I'm so weak. I'm so this. I give up. Bam! That's when you're running. That's it. You see? Just like with Abraham, just like with Sarah, giving up or laughing and things of that nature. But Abraham believed God. He didn't look at this, didn't look at the circumstances. He counted God faithful. And that's, praise the Lord, how that great promise was brought forth. That's the timing of it. Hallelujah. And this is why God is bringing forth. You think of all the things he could have brought forth in this, but yet, nope, I'm going to show you Abraham. And there's many things in this, and again, we're not even scratching the surface. Amen. Oh, pastor didn't bring out this. Pastor didn't bring out that. Well, praise the Lord. You know what? I'm bringing out what the Lord wants me to bring out tonight. How's that? Huh? Listen. This is manna for today. Praise God. And vessels to the praise of the glory of his grace breaking forth. My goodness, this is virtuous woman time. But then, as we go through this this precious tribulation and patience and experience. And remember, we began with glory to hope. Amen. We glory in hope. Amen. Well, it's going to bring us right back to hope again. So we got the hope sandwich. And it's so wonderful. I was just thinking how beautiful that is. This hope is sandwiching everything in. And I got to jump back into Romans again. So let's go back over to chapter 15. Because it's such a beautiful orchestra that God is orchestrating in this. And if you go Romans 15, verse 13, I got to woe down here just a little bit. Okay. It's hard not to get the Twitter pated up when he's doing this. And I say, you know, praise the Lord. I appreciate how you love me. But in 15:13, it goes on to say, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. See, there it is. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, my goodness. Isn't this wonderful? See, that's that hope sandwich. That's that anointing, brothers and sisters, of the Holy Ghost within and without. See, it's just all over the place, you know. And that's that gushing forth. You get that seasoned in love faith. And then the reality of all of this scripture, just you live that life. It already is your life, but you live it. You glory in everything that God is doing in your life for His glory. Okay, let's get on over to 6 through 9. Got to move here a little bit. We're trying to get to 11, but we'll let the Holy Ghost take us there. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His love, see, He brings that out, now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now see, this is getting right at the very heart of God. This is His magnificent magnifying of His pure, magnificent grace. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read how the Lord brings it out this way, as Brother Paul says it here in his letter to the Ephesians, in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, see, we were all dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So here we are, brothers and sisters. Not only are we helpless, but there's no thought of God. Think of that. Not only were we helpless, but there was no thought of God. There was no good. We were all guilty sinners, but God. And as you go back to Romans 5 and verse 7 comes about, and that's why verse 7 really is magnifying here about Adam. And it brings in the story of Adam. And really what this is saying in 7, 8, and 9 here is if Adam would have obeyed God, there would not have been any need for Jesus Christ. And that's the truth. There wouldn't have been any need there. But we know that Adam didn't obey God. Amen. That there was a plan and there was a purpose. And praise the Lord, he was going to fall, because Jesus Christ was going to come forth, the last Adam. But then, as it goes on there in 7 through 9, it says, well, let's pre-adventure. Let's say then that man did possess just a little bit of good, okay? Since we know he didn't have any good, let's just say he did have a little bit of good, like so many people want to believe. Maybe there would have been some to die for that man. But you know what? The Word of God tells us very clearly, no, there's none righteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's not true again. So we have to rid ourselves of any of that kind of nonsense, any of that kind of deadly thinking. We were all, praise the Lord, dead in sin. Amen. See, that's exciting. That's how God loved us. God's love came forth only because of Him. Did you hear that? God's love came forth only because of Him. His grace, His plan, His love, His heart is all in magnifying His Son, and praise be to God in us. Isn't that awesome? It's all His Son, but praise God, it's in us. It's all His Son in Christ and us, and hallelujah, how wonderful that is. The first Adam, helpless and guilty. The last Adam, Christ redeemed and saved us from wrath. Now let's go ahead and wrap this up from 9 through 11 and we'll stop there tonight. The fire hydrant's been going, so here we go. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Isn't that wonderful how God continues to remind us now, now, now? Isn't that wonderful? Don't wait, honeys. Don't wait. Now, 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 now. Take it now because there's growth now. That's what this is all about. That's what our life here is about. Christ growing up in us, us growing up into Christ in all things. So, 9 through 11, our standing is so secure. And he loves to encourage us, brothers and sisters, in our standing in Christ and how our standing in Christ will never change. He is beyond precious. This is the God again of now, not someday, but today justified. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not trying to be. Praise God. It is finished. And we will be saved from the wrath. And not only by him, praise God, but through him. And again, all in Christ. And that is so wonderful. And I appreciated how a sister brought this out the other night. You know, a lot of people like to skate over hell. Well, let me explain something to you. If you're that close to hell, you're not skating over it. And it's not going to happen that way. And I want us to make no mistake. Anybody not justified by the blood of Jesus, let me tell you something. The full wrath is coming. Hell is only a temporary holding place. Hell is a horrible place, we know, with so many things in the Bible telling us. But hell hasn't seen anything yet until the lake of fire. And the lake of fire awaits all who the blood is not applied. So, you know, God help us to understand that very sincerely. And with the love of Christ in our lives, I'll tell you what, that love will love every soul. And you'll want them to know Christ as Savior. I don't care how wicked, Henri. Praise the Lord. I was in the front of the line with that one. So we'll thank God for that. Now, verse 10 is magnifying more grace. Isn't that amazing? And it rejoices in the increases, how grace increases to us in that now are we the sons of God. And what joy and peace, again, that we have in believing God. Isn't that the most joyful and peaceful time you ever have is when you believe God? Matter of fact, let's say it this way. It's the only time you really have joy and peace is when you believe God. Let's just be honest with this. You might have a temporal moment of happiness in not believing God, but let me tell you something. It's going to be very, very temporal because he's faithful and true. But see, we have peace and joy in believing God in a height, brothers and sisters, that is so wonderful because you begin to realize we have all his grace. Do you know that? He's given you everything. He's given you all of it, all because of Jesus. See, when he gave us Jesus Christ, he gave us everything. And you have all his grace. That's why you always having all sufficiency in all things, superabound to every good work, because you have all of him. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's why I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the grace of God. Amen. And see, the enemy, he wants to so get you into guilt or so into self-righteousness. Oh, I come to church all the time, so God's going to do this for me. You're his son. He will withhold nothing good from you. And then on the other hand of that, oh, I did this and this and this, and I just can't break from that. God just don't want anything to do with me. No. Let me tell you something. That father's waiting for that prodigal moment by moment by moment. Yes, he is. And remember, he's got the feast waiting. He's got the ring in his hand. He's got the coat. And most importantly, he's got the hug and a kiss. Just waiting. Come on now. So see, we got to quit this nonsense. Because he loves us so. See, this is the thankfulness beyond that God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. Now, as we close this out, I just want to rejoice just for a little bit longer, just a moment, in the joy we have in God. Amen? The joy we have in God. Aren't you thankful there's no more fear?
Perfect love casts out all fear. I thank the Lord. All that fear was replaced with joy and full confidence in Jesus Christ. The atonement through Him we have received. This is our Father. Amen. This is our Father. This is our Abba Father. And what joy we have in the Father's joy and affection to us, all because now are we the sons of God because of the blood of Jesus. And I want you to think of this too. We have the very same joy, hallelujah, the very same joy is there for us that Jesus has with the Father. Did you hear that? The very same joy is there for us that Jesus has, not had, but has with the Father. There is no difference because we have His life. We have His life and the full enjoyment of everything that He possesses. Yes, amen. Listen to this. Now, I pray that we understand how much more we need the Holy Ghost to show us these things. How much more we need, by God's grace, to be yielding to this encouragement of the guide that will lead us into all truth. The importance of the revelation of the love of God shed abroad to us. And that's only by the Holy Ghost. And that is a gushing geyser, brothers and sisters. It is. How important. God, help me to get all of it. We are blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. We are. I'm not trying to get them. I've got them. Lord, help me to want to see them because You want me to see them more than I want to see them. But by grace, let me see that. And that's what this atonement of His blood is. It's so wonderful. That's what this atonement is. The blood. He took our place and we took His. Isn't that something? Think about that. He took our place and we took His. He became sin and we became sons. Amen. This is what a covenant really is. It's exchanging. Everything I am, He's telling us, everything I represent, my life now belongs to You. And it not only belongs to You, it's in You and it is Your life. The life that we live by the faith of the Son of God because that's Christ in us. I don't try to live by it. It's my life. Isn't that awesome? That's the power of God in us. That's why I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because He's my strength. He's my life. This is the little Lord of all covenant. It's the truth. Did you know that? Where'd he get that? Galatians 4:1. This is the little Lord of all covenant, blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. I've exchanged that place. I took all that sin. I took all of that. The old man is dead. Amen. And here's my life. And He lives in you. Little Lord of all, the great exchange. And now may we see how infinite glorious this is. And by God's grace to possess all of it. And that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what jointly means. Do you understand that? Yes, jointly, reigning, ruling together with Christ Jesus. And our praise to Him. Our praise to Him. How about, oh, I'm thankful, Lord Jesus, You bought me with Your blood. How about, Lord Jesus, praise God, I'm not my own. I love this stuff. Don't fight it. Thank Him for these things. A prisoner, praise God. Of His love by His blood. It's a ravishing to our lives, brothers and sisters. This is the first love call. We said it earlier, I am my beloved's and His desire is towards me. I'll tell you what, the heights of the glory of God are all throughout this Romans letter. They are. I'm so thankful to God, I'm starting to see it. And God help us not to sit back on our heels in this. There's more light upon light upon light. And God help us not to miss it. He just wears me out. But at the same time, He just gets me excited all over. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I pray that, Lord, even so, come quickly. But I thank the Lord that we can abide in His great grace.
and rejoice in his great grace and abound in hope in his great grace. Let's trust him more. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.